Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley, with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one.
All right. Tyler is out today. That is Chris Santiago handling the ones and twos. You could normally hear Chris nightly right here on Sports Radio 610, 7 to 11. Area 45 with Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani. He runs that show at night. They also have a post-game show, Astros post-game show every single night, which they'll have tonight. And hopefully this will be different than
hopefully the boys can celebrate.
Many of the other ones. How have the post-game shows been going, man? Only been six W's. How have they been going? I feel like Patrick's a ticking time bomb.
It's been rough, man. It's been rough. Nothing but
positive.
Negative stuff, you know. They've been losing.
What it should be. They've been getting their ass kicked. They should be negative. Boy, if you sitting in there patty caking that thing with a bunch of positivity, boy, that's
who gets pissed the most? It's gotta be Patrick, right?
Yeah, but I mean honestly both of them. Sean and NPC. And myself too. I get a little mad.
As well you should.
Come on.
All three of y'all should. Well,
I want to hear
easy going.
Mad Chris Santiago. I don't know what that sounds like.
Easy going, but I mean, if anything can push him over the edge, it's been the 6-14 Astros.
Yeah. Stress, man. Stress.
Huh? All right. Well, listen, they take on the Nationals, a sub-500 team. This is the first one they played this year.
Yeah.
Everybody's been
waiting. This is one. 6-14, man. Wait on these sub-500 teams so you can get that
record.
We
can knock out two of the potential explanations out right here. Injury front with Justin Verlander returning.
Back. Okay.
And they've just had to play a murderer's row. You know what? Okay. They played a good team. They played the Yankees. They played the Rangers twice. They played the Braves. And they played
Blue Jays
are one of the real surprise teams in baseball, the Kansas City Royals.
There you go.
At 12-7 right there.
Did the Royals sweep them?
Yeah, they swept. Yeah. And the last two games were rough. But Verlander gets the ball tonight. It's his first start this year, and they get him back before May. They get him here April 19th, which is big. And look, his first two starts, now they're just in minor leagues. They're just with Sugarland, and then the second one with Corpus, but maybe it was just him working on things. This was his line. His first start out, 3 innings, 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 65 pitches. And then his last start, 4 innings, 5 earned, 6 runs, 7 hits, 3 Ks, 1 walk, and 77 pitches. So 77 pitches is his high mark that he has thrown. Your expectations and hopes of what you get from JV tonight, judging off his first two outings.
Yeah, look, I'm not worried about those numbers at all. I mean, hell,
pitch
I just.
Count's the only one that.
Right.
Really
well, I mean, I just read an article a little earlier about minor league baseball and about how literally there's very minimal emphasis on winning ball games and winning pitches and winning at bats. And so I got to believe there's a huge chunk of that for Verlander is I'm going to get 40% off speed. I'm going to get 30% change up. I'm going to get my fastball working X percent this and that. And so there's, I'm not putting any stock into what happened in Sugarland as I wouldn't put any stock in there if he went out there and threw, what is that? 11 no hit innings. when it's all said and done, it'd be a hell of a story, but I wouldn't put any stock in it. So, look, I expect the consistent Verlander that we've always seen. I mean, there's a chance that he may give up a couple long balls, but when it's all said and done, I expect him in five or six innings to have the Astros in a position where they're either ahead at that point in time or the game is at least in hand, and at the end of the day, there's a lead that is not insurmountable for this lineup. So yeah, I expect Verlander to go five or six, and I expect him to put the team in play pitch well enough to put the team in a position to where they could potentially win this thing.
Yeah, I wonder what his pitch count is tonight.
77 in that last outie.
He said he wanted to get up to 85. I know before he went on his first rehab start, he said he wanted to get up to 85. They took him out short of 80 in his last start. I would imagine his pitch count's probably around 85, 90. Probably they don't want to extend him. I certainly don't think it's just, hey, man, no restrictions. You go out here and you just throw. So, to me, you know, if he can be pitch efficient and get through six, that would be fantastic. But, you know, five innings and two runs or less, like I think he gets in there. And if they – like, he early starts to shut them down, I think that is something that can really get the entire team going around him. I honestly do. Like, I am someone that believes there are certain guys and certain things that mean more than just what they do.
Right. Like, right? And on the field, you come up.
And I know he only enters the game once every 5 days. There were maybe even 6 days. We'll see how they use him. But I do think Justin Verlander means more than just his starts. I think Justin Verlander is somebody that can really, really spark his whole team.
Agreed, and it is much needed at this point in time.
Absolutely. And I think they want to play for him. So I can't wait to see the outfield. Hopefully Mauricio Dubon continues to be his personal center fielder.
Good point.
Hopefully that continues. I would also throw out to Joe Espada, I'd like for him to be Christian Javier's personal center fielder.
He's earned the right to pick his center fielder.
I would like Dubon to be Ronel's personal center fielder. I would like for him to be Hunter Brown's personal center fielder. And I would like for him to be J.P. France's personal center fielder. So hopefully Joe maybe takes it that way. Maybe he doesn't have to be. Maybe if you phrase it differently, maybe he doesn't have to be the everyday center fielder, but maybe he's just everybody's personal center fielder. So hopefully he is out there. This is a big one. I think they need to. We talked about it. They've got their three best guys, even though Verlander had pitched yet this year. But the guys that you trust the most, Verlander, Javier, Blanco, going in this series, they got to win this series. And to the bats too. This can't go like it did against the Braves. The starting pitching gave you a chance to win. Your starters gave up two runs or less, all three of them, in that Braves series. And the bats and the bullpen are the things that held them back. That can't happen against the Nationals. They got to at least win this series with those three guys pitching. So
hand this thing off to Presley and Hader. And
Abreu and Hader.
And Abreu and Hader, is that who it is tonight?
That's who you're going with.
Whoever it is. Get it to
I think
the
everybody's probably available with the day off.
Get it to the eighth and the ninth, again, with either a lead, a tie ball game, or at least reachable for this particular lineup, and let's get it done.
That's a crazy thing. If those three back there pitched like we thought they would, Montero is doing a good enough job to get it to him. Seth Martinez is doing a pretty good job to help get it to him. It seems like they've at least identified two guys to get it to those three.
Yep.
It's them three. It's them three, Joker. So we'll get you the lineup when that comes out.
You going to do the lineup today?
I don't know.
Okay.
If Jake's in it, I'm not. We'll see. We'll get the lineups out. We'll let you know what happens there, but a big one here in Washington for the Astros. They got to get back on track this weekend.
Big 3-3, number two.
All right, Clint, next week in this time, we'll be discussing the first round of the draft and we'll be out. We'll be out live downtown discussing the the Texans pick. But we'll know who the first round is by this time next week. And the quarterbacks are the real story at the top of the draft. And Clint, the Giants, they've got the sixth pick, and their general manager said there's no pressure for them to take a quarterback in the draft. No pressure for them to take a quarterback in the draft. Now, hey, Clint, Chris is really listening to this. Deep down, at the very least, the Giants are at least his second football team. I don't know. They may be his first, or he may not want to say. But the Giants are one of his teams he pulls for. They're sitting there with Daniel Jones. They got the sixth pick. This is a quarterback-rich draft. I think there is at least four. I think many people think there could be six first-round type guys, at least in the first two rounds. You think the Giants should be making it a priority to get a quarterback out of this
draft? I think it'd be a great time for them to get a quarterback in this draft. Yeah, I mean, I think by the time they go at six, the guys, with the exception of Michael Penix Jr., is going to be on the board. Everybody else is
probably
ultimate.
Bo Nix probably will still be there.
Well, I mean, six. You got Bo Nix. You got more than likely J.J. McCarthy. You got Bo Nix. You've got
Penix Jr.
Penix Jr. Obviously, but there's one more. Who am I missing?
I don't think you think. I think Drake May will be gone by then.
I think those top three will be gone.
Yeah,
by then.
Yeah.
I think
Daniels,
those top three
May,
will be
and
gone.
Obviously, Caleb.
But nonetheless, at that point in time, you get a guy that is more developmental, and you can also obviously find out more about Daniel Jones if you need to, coming off this injury. You've got the ability to be patient with a young quarterback with Daniel Jones, and you've also got the answer if at any point in time you want to punt on Daniel Jones. You then have the future quarterback, so you don't waste any downs with guys that are fill in the blank type of guys, that 6-7 year vets, even 10-12 year vet, the Jacoby Brissetts of the world, and that's not going to be your franchise quarterback. Any team that has to waste time with him as a starter is really stuck in neutral, and they're waiting for another quarterback to develop. I think with the Giants, if they do draft a quarterback, you've got Daniel Jones, who you legit put major expectations on and say, man, if you don't live up to him, then your ass is out of here.
You think this is the point of just give him fair weapons around him?
Oh, yeah. No, I think, look, there's a case to be made. Again, hell, the owner, up in New York said it best, that they've done everything in their power to make sure this guy fails. Like Daniel, I'm not a big Daniel Jones fan, was not a big Daniel Jones fan when he came out. I don't believe he's as bad as folks make him out to be. I think you can win with Daniel Jones. And I think that they've done a very poor job of surrounding him with talent. And so I think he's been done dirty from jump. But nonetheless, at some point, they're going to have to cut bait and say, hey, the timing was wrong. He's not the right guy. We're not the right fit. And let the guy move on. And you'd rather have already started the process of developing your young quarterback instead of all of a sudden now you're looking around going, well, hell, what does next year's quarterback draft look like? Where are we going to end up getting a pick? If a guy falls in the lap of the Giants this year, it could be a developmental guy like a J.J. McCarthy, then you jump all over that one.
Yeah,
I would if I were them.
To me, if one of those top three guys, because I think the Patriots could be had. I think they would listen. If you feel like one of those three guys,
yeah,
I would make that move. I would not pick J.J. McCarthy if he fell to me at six.
I'm not a believer in J.J. McCarthy either. But if they are. But to your point, even if you move up to three, I think either guy that falls to you, whether it's Daniels or May, I think they're better off sitting a year.
Yes.
I think they're better off sitting a year and watching the game at the pro level, waiting for the team to surround them, the quarterback with weapons. You see what Daniel Jones brings to the table. If he plays really well, at some point in time, you're going to have a trade piece. If he doesn't play, you cut bait, and you've already started investing in your young quarterback.
The number one thing that I would do if I were them, I would get the weapon, and there are receivers right there at six, and I would really monitor the Michael Penix Jr. situation.
I agree.
If I could get him in the second round. And there's been some mocks seeing him go there, but I don't think people are going to be able to hold their water. I think he may go later in the first round. I would be monitoring that to get back to get him.
That's going to be the biggest.
Because he can sit.
Teams are going to be disappointed. Teams that pass on him are going to be disappointed. in that middle of the first round. I mean, hell, even the guys that draft early, there's a chance Michael Penix can end up being the best quarterback that comes out in this draft. I can't believe the guy went out there and did what he did, stayed healthy for 2 years, and they're holding it against him to a point of where he could potentially fall out of the first round.
You weren't here. I watched. I was at the gym watching on the Stairmaster, watching Michigan and Washington. And, you know, it wasn't a great game for him. But it was, I said this, I said, I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback that has been, like, above average in the NFL that in college, they weren't what the offense was designed around.
Right.
We were running through it. I think Brock Purdy may have been the best that we gotten to. Someone said Kirk Cousins, but I still feel like at Michigan State, they were still
a pocket
around
team.
Him. But there was nobody like this. Like the Michigan Wolverines revolved the offense around Blake Corum in the run
defense,
Like it was not revolved around him.
Yeah,
like not to mean that they couldn't have won it, but. That their offense could have still survived had he not been there. And then you flip over and watch the other side, and you watch Washington, and the whole thing is revolved around him.
Yeah.
Just like the whole thing at USC was revolved around him. Just like the whole thing at Oregon was around Knicks, and the whole thing around North Carolina was around Drake May. It is wow, I've never seen it. I've never in life seen that be the case. So we'll
Amen.
See.
Jim Harbaugh speaks up, and everybody takes it and runs with it, man.
Is that really how we arrived here? That
Absolutely.
People are going to jump up to four to get
Absolutely.
Him?
Absolutely.
Like it seems like the Vikings and Broncos are fighting over themselves to get up to get McCarthy. And he may work out and be a.
I really like McCarthy. I just don't know how anybody in their right mind at this point in time could say we're going to take him over Michael Penix Jr. I have no idea.
I'm surprised he has a first round grade.
So am I. I don't think it
based
would happen.
Based off what we've seen.
His film doesn't say first round grade. His size and his arm talent does not say first round grade. The only thing that says first round grade is his how many games he won, his team won, his intangibles. And what his coach did, and it continuously has gone to bat about him being a great pro.
It's like, man, Craig Frenzel came out first round grade. The old Ohio State quarterback is first round grade. All right, coming up, I'm not sure if Clint will agree with me on this, but there's one thing that I think is great for the Texans coming up next week in the draft. We'll discuss that.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, the draft is coming up on Friday. Well, Friday for the Texans as of now. Thursday it actually starts the first round. We'll be having the draft party and we'll be out there. It'll be a good time coming up next week, Clint. And I would just say this for me. For the Texans and their situation and where they are, what they've done in the offseason, there to me will not be one thing, and I'm just, you know, understanding they have signed punters and kickers, right? There's not one thing that they could do in this draft, in particular, you know, the ones we care about, those two second-round picks, third-round pick, maybe the two fours. But there is nothing for me that they can do that would annoy me, disappoint me, or make me view negative. There's not a pick. Any direction that they would go to, I could understand and make sense of every one of them. I would not be disappointed at all. 713-572-4610. I believe they're in a position.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, I think the Texans are in a position where really anything they do, you name a position, they do it right there. It would make sense. It would not disappoint me. Previous years, there were other things, but there's not one.
I'm glad you're so confident. It ain't nothing going to annoy you because it's going to annoy the hell out of me.
What? What? There are positions that...
If they don't draft on the defensive side of the football with them first two second-round picks, I'm going to be annoyed.
Oh, you want them both on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have... I mean, the corner position... The linebacker position, the defensive tackle position, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm. You can argue the safety position as well. I mean, I just like all the this one point drives me crazy, and I think you may be in this camp. I know them. I know the midday guys are. You draft a wide receiver with either of those two,
wouldn't have a problem.
Come on, man. I would. You ain't that
wouldn't
damn good.
You're
three deep with Noah Brown and a second round pick in the holster down here at the wide receiver position. You're definitely gonna re up either Diggs or Nico at the end of the deal. You still got 2 years with Tank Dell. Your tight end room is set. I mean, I just don't know. Like right now, I mean, it'd be like drafting a tackle.
Like for. And I wouldn't have a problem with that either. For me, well, the tackle thing to me, because like I just think they're flexible to do whatever they want to do. They can draft for best need at the moment. They can draft for position and they can draft for future. They have the ability to do that with what they have done. Like for me, Clint, all those positions, like it's none of them is do I feel they got to come away with it, because I think we agree. Their biggest holes on this roster right now are defensive tackle and then that cornerback situation. But, I mean, how many of those guys in that round do you think immediately comes in and makes an impact?
Oh, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no, I agree.
Like, it's like...
I mean, if you're not drafting the top 10, then you're going to have... I mean, it's a crapshoot of guys coming in and immediately helping.
But
you got to at least take a swing at it.
No, I mean, yeah, I'm not like I think they will take a swing at it. Like what I'm saying is, like, what I don't think they're going to draft quarterback. So I don't think they're going to do that or punter or kicker. But I mean, if they said, man, we look at this wide receiver as the best available. We know we don't have Diggs under contract after next year. I mean, you know, in the building, we're going to need a third one. Noah's a 1 year contract. We don't know what the hell we got with John Mechie. Like, yeah, I can see them doing that with one of those second round picks. I can see them going tackle and saying, hey, I know after this year we can get out of Titus or Laremy Tunsil and let's draft one to be ready to go with. I could see them going safety. I can see them going in a lot of different directions in terms of what would happen with this team that would make sense. The only one that you brought up in the top three picks that I would flinch on is maybe linebacker.
Yeah, you mean
like to where I'm like, all right, I can get with you in the top three picks if there was a really good linebacker there and they passed on him. Still, I don't even know if it would rise to disappoint it, but that's the only other one, because you're sitting there with Henry Toa, you know, potentially as your Sam or your Will linebacker. But other than that, I mean, there's just not to me a defensive tackle that you're going to get one of those one of those spots that I know flat out is going to come in and flat out contribute over the journeyman that you have. Like, right now, the best play to cross your fingers is, all right, we get him here, and at the second half of the season, he is becoming a big part of the rotation. But I don't think that's a I got to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And someone texts in, you're just wrong, Ron. Maybe that's you know, your opinion. For me, it's just like only positions to me where I'd be like, what the hell is punter, kicker, and quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know.
If they said we want to go guard because we don't trust what we got here, all right. I know that's a lot early.
The first two picks for me, the first two second-round picks, like those are draft picks you make with the intention of those guys contributing in some way, shape, or form.
Yes, yes.
Like that has to be the plan. These guys have to, if they're good enough, they're going to get on the field and they're going to get plenty of opportunity and they're going to help us win this year. And I don't think there's a need at every position. Like, I don't think a receiver gets on the field this year. Like, if you draft a receiver in the second round this year, he ain't getting on the field.
I don't know. If there's a second round receiver, I mean, your third round receiver, if they draft Tank Dell, he gets on the field.
That's different than getting on the field. Last year, anybody could have got on the field.
But still, if you drafted Tank Dell, he's getting on the field.
He's
eventually going to get on the field over Noah Brown.
How? He's on the footballs.
If there is a second-round receiver that plays to the level of Tank Dell, he's getting on the field over Noah Brown.
So what we're talking about is that you draft a receiver in the second round this year on a team that's ready to go win, or at least you think they are, at a loaded position, and you wasted a draft pick on a guy that could be your fourth-best receiver?
But I don't think it's a waste because, see, I think this is where we kind of
it's a longer-term play, like next
year.
Yeah,
but I think that the Texans can't afford to do, especially with two of them. Now, Clint, I wouldn't say, hey, draft, use both of those second-round picks on two long-term plays. But, like, to me, I don't think this – maybe some of you do. I don't have this as a Super Bowl or bust type of a deal. Like, I don't think that –
No, I think that would be crazy.
Right, I don't think this is a deal where, hey, we got like the Ravens, they got to draft folks that can help them right now. Like have to. I think the Texans are early and they want to advance and get to the AFC Championship game. But if the Texans won the division and won a playoff game, I don't think it's a failure.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
And I think they are still in a spot where they can still kind of build this thing up. And I think they've done so much in the offseason of guys they need to help them in certain spots. That's it. If this draft was deeper in defensive tackles that can help early, then that would be a must. What we're seeing, it's about two that are going to go early in the first round that are guys that can really legit get on the field and help you that way. And that's why, for me, if they say, well, we'll go a different direction here at another position, instead of that D tackle, we'll go linebacker, even though D tackle's probably our biggest issue. It's just for me, it is hard for me to envision a way, watch them do it, but it's hard for me to envision a way that we're here next week and they draft somebody in second and third round that says, damn, that's a major disappointment.
Yeah, look, Ron, here's the deal. I think there are, like, you're right. I mean, to find guys in the second round that are plug-and-play starters are going to be better than some of the journeymen.
At those positions that the Texans need.
Fair. But I do believe that right now, if you have to draft two guys in the second round, I think the most likely spot for those guys to get run and produce is D-tackle and corner.
That's your weakest position.
I mean, I think there's now it's and the only reason I leave linebacker is it's hard to play as a rookie. You know, like I mean, I guess with the linebackers that are here right now, you would be a rotational piece anyway. So I would throw linebacker in there too. I'm trying to think of a place where best case scenario you get a guy that can just absolutely go. But he's a little bit raw, and it's going to take you to midseason for this thing to unfold. And he's a safety net for CJ Henderson and Jeff Okuda don't work out. And then inside on that defensive tackle, hell, I'd even throw defensive end in there. I wouldn't be disappointed if it's an edge guy either.
If they came in, even though that's not something they need, if you look at it, you look at their roster, it's not something they need. But if they said, dude, we see this guy as somebody that could be.
Yeah.
That can help us not just this year, but down the line, we'll do it.
Yeah. You get a second round guy that you could roll through there with Barnett.
Yeah, they got five picks in the.
I'm worried about the top two. I need to build the defensive side of the football.
In rounds 2, 3, and 4, they got five picks. All right, people telling me that I need to stay off the weed. I understand what they need.
You a gummy guy or
more of a blunt? I've just recently become one.
Oh, there we go.
A gummy guy. I hope I don't get in trouble for that. Ball's coming up at 4:00.
For
that as well. All right,
full name Parker.
We'll finish. We could finish that up too. And boy, I'm telling you, man, I was so proud of my wife last night.
You sure you should share this on the radio?
I saw a little bit of me in her last night, and it made me want.
Is that, were y'all in the bed?
And it made me want to see a little bit of me.
A little bit of you.
We'll finish this draft talk out because I see people on the lines with some thoughts. We'll finish that out coming up next right here live on the draft.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we can jump back on this. Remember, 4 o'clock coming up here in just over 15 minutes. You'll hear from Parker Hillis, our program director here at Sports Radio 610. He wants to talk to you, the listener. So let everybody know out there, hey, an announcement coming from the guy who runs the show at Sports Radio 610 coming up at 4 o'clock. So be waiting for that. As we said, as we were talking about in the last segment, want to finish this off as I see some calls here. For me personally, Clint and I differ here. I think the Texans have put themselves in such a good spot with what they've done for the most part in free agency with the combination of the positions that I think they do have issues and help are positions in which where the draft, I don't think, dictates guys that are actually going to be better right now than the guys they actually have in those positions, which to me makes...
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I could make sense of, hey, yes, D-tackle is a weak spot that we have, but there is a pass rusher, there is a linebacker, there is a safety, there is a receiver, there is a guard, there is something that we like that we think is a much better player than that player, and we don't necessarily need to draft him over, you know, those guys because he may not be as good as the guys we have right now. I just don't think they're in a gotta win a Super Bowl mode now where they gotta fill different holes. I think they can do a lot of different things.
Yeah, if you say, I mean, the hoes get you, though, boy.
Them hoes will get you. All right, Uncle Glenn says he agrees with Clint. Go ahead. What's your thoughts on this?
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're good.
Well, you know, I've looked at a lot of the mock drafts, and then I've looked at PFF. And Clint, actually, I'm in agreement with both Ron and Clint. They are not in we got a Super Bowl deal or not. But Clint, I think you're going to be able to sing that song again, play that funky music, White Boy, again, because you got White Boy Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, who's a bad mofo at corner. And how do you feel about him at 42? And as far as defensive tackles, I disagree. They got another young man, DeAndre Fitt, out of Illinois. Will he be there? And I agree. I think Houston should go 42, 59, and 86 all defense unless the receiver drops down there. And, you know, I love y'all. That's all I got to say. I'm gone.
Appreciate that, Uncle Glenn.
Look, I'm always for the white corner.
And I don't think he's going to be there.
I don't think he's going
to
be there either.
I don't think he's going to be there. You would have to move up to go get him. And again, I would not be disappointed or have any issues if they did that too. I would love to cover the first white corner since Jason Sehorn.
Who I threw a pick to. The jump ball to Rocket Ishmael. And don't just
think
that
they quickly moved him to safety. He played corner for years there. All right? I see you 3-1. I wouldn't be disappointed with that. And the kid from Illinois, they've got two tackles from Illinois. Again, for me, defensive tackle and you know, maybe Seth Payne, I think, would agree with this, but this is things I've heard a lot. Like, I mean, really, quarterback and maybe left tackle, maybe a couple of other positions. It's one of the most difficult positions to come right in and be expected to produce.
Look, I think all of them are going to be – I think it's unfair to come right in and expect them to produce. But I get your point. Like, here's where I'm at, though, is when you look at, like, the defensive tackle position, like, I don't know that there's a need to add a guy right now, because I think a good second-round draft pick is going to fit right in with your rotational pieces. But it's a pick that I use – at a position where now we're going to use 4 to 5 interior guys every week. So that guy brings value, and we'll have a chance to push him out there and see what he's made out of and literally watch him develop. We need him in the rotation. We need him as depth. Let's use him as such, and then he develops along the way and hopefully becomes a frontline starter that you can play next to Will Anderson. The other thing, at the edge rusher position, same thing. You're going to rotate 3, possibly 4 guys through at the edge, off the edge at some point in time. If you drafted a guy, you can determine how many snaps you want him to play. You can determine what kind of situations you want him in the game, but he's a critical part and he's going to be given an opportunity to produce. We talked about linebacker. Again, a position that's thin, and you're going to draft depth, but the guy's going to have to play, not as a starter, but he would play his depth. You can develop him, and you hope he turns into something. That's just where I'm at with this draft pick, is I want it to be a position where any way you slice it, the guy's going to be on the field. The guy's going to get opportunities. And then we'll know if they hit it out of the park with a guy. You know, a D tackle. I agree with you. It's rare in the second round you're going to find a guy on a team that's built as well as the Texans are right now that you're going to find a guy and be like, yep, that guy, hell with it. Hell, he's just that much better than everybody else. Get him in there.
Well, especially in this year in certain positions.
Sure.
This year.
Sure. Sure. But at the very least, you can draft a guy in the second round that'll be in your top 5 D tackles.
Yeah,
and then hopefully could develop into maybe your second best D tackle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I wouldn't have an issue with that. Or I could also see themselves, if they're saying, all right, we got a guy that could be in our rotation, but man, there's a tight end that we love that can do, you know, everything, that can block and catch and could be here down the line. Like I think they have done enough and put themselves in a situation where they could go off either and take some luxury picks.
I got one on offense. You just had, it was a light bulb moment for me. The kid out of Iowa, not the white corner.
Was it
fullback tight end?
Fullback tight end.
I mean, I could see where that guy could play immediately, if we're being honest. And with his ability to block in a run game, you put him in front of Joe Mixon and those
types. They still don't have that. They still don't have a.
And his willingness to get physical in the run game and in the pass game, he's a better pass catcher than advertised. I could see. Now, I don't know what round he's going to go in, but that's a guy that if he's, ooh, man. I need to see what they got him slated.
And I also should add this part of it. I think the amount of picks they have right there also makes this to me. Because, like, I could literally see themselves saying, all right, let's do it, as you said, let's get this D tackle that we like. Let's get the kid from Illinois that Uncle Glenn talked about. Let's get a kid, a D tackle that's going to be in our rotation. And then we got another second round pick And they could, I could see themselves saying, all right, let's, we really like this tackle. Let's go ahead and grab him so we're set up to make decisions down the line. Because in 2 years, they're not keeping both of those tackles. Like, they're going to get let run of them go, and then you're going to run into when Will and when CJ. Like, I can see them making future plays because they have two twos, and then they have a third and two fours coming behind that. They got five picks right there in the top 108, I think, or 180 or something like that. So I could see they just have a lot to work with.
Ron, I got my super white rosters mixed up. Okay. I was talking about the tight end fullback out of Kansas State.
Ben?
Ben Sinnott.
Yeah, Ben Sinnott.
I think that's how you say it. But I got the Iowa roster and the K-State roster.
Solid part of the country.
Pale part of the country.
Very similar. Similar type schools.
Just to clear that up, that's the tight end that I'm talking about. And he is projected, what I'm reading is he's projected day two or early day three. So he will be around with that second round pick and possibly the third round pick. So he's a guy that I could get down. That's a position that I could get down with them improving big time.
Sean, go ahead and finish us off. Your thoughts on the draft. Is there anything that the Texans can do to disappoint you on draft night?
Because I think the big thing for me, honestly, is it would be against the DNA of Caserio and what we've seen in the previous drafts. And I don't want to see anything that is contrary to that. I want someone like Michael Hall out of Ohio State or that nickel corner out of Michigan. Right? These are people that I want because they will be on a rotation, and we need, you know, dogs in there who want to be here. Exactly, you know, what Clint was talking about earlier, because I think that's more important. Is that now that you have a luxury, you shouldn't, you know, we're in a good place. I get it. But this is the first time we've been here in how long? I don't want to, like, start letting off the gas right now. I want to get the right guys in there so we have depth if anything happens, right? Because it's a long football season. And just getting people like those guys in there, I think, would be good.
I appreciate the call, Sean. And listen, I understand what you're saying. I think they're also in a different place than they were in the previous two drafts.
The nickel defender is interesting. Because they ain't just wholeheartedly committed to Dez King. No, yeah, they've been trying to run his ass off. But
they have run him off.
But he, right, and brought him and begged back. Him back. But, so that's an interesting one as well. I mean, I don't think you can ever have enough cover defenders in today's NFL. That's interesting as well.
What you got coming up?
Well, we got the boss man. The boss man's coming in. Got a message for the people. And as Ron always says, not just for the Drive family, for all of the Sports Radio 610 listeners, you don't want to miss this. So we'll welcome him in. And we had a little conversation earlier. I had one of the general managers in the NFL. He messed on himself in a press conference setting. When was the last time you boys broke wind unexpectedly that somewhat embarrassed you? When was the last time, anybody out there driving, when was the last time you broke wind unexpectedly and you embarrassed the hell out of yourself? Huh? We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 16.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!